Welcome to Coffee to Go, where we center ourselves in the scriptures, seasons, and holy days of the Christian tradition. I'm Karen Peter, here with Blake Smith, and we welcome you on the journey. We are in ordinary time, the season after Pentecost, where we have every Sunday numbered or ordered, and it's a pretty long stretch. It's the last half of the Christian liturgical calendar. And the Sundays after Pentecost are labeled proper. So proper 9, proper 10, proper 11. We're on proper 10 today. And proper comes from the Latin proprium, which we talked about last week. And it refers to the parts of the liturgy that vary according to the date or the season in the Christian calendar, as opposed to parts of Christian liturgy that are always the same, like the Apostles' Creed or the Lord's Prayer, or some of those pieces that are the same in many traditions. And then the part that changes, scripture and specific prayers for different seasons, are the proprium. So we have kept that term, the propers, for ordinary time. And this Sunday in ordinary time, we are on our way to Jerusalem with Jesus, and we encounter an inquisitive lawyer.
Well, our passage today comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, and it is the 25th through the 37th verse. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, giving them to the innkeeper and saying, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." So we're still, obviously, in the 10th chapter of Luke, which is where we were last week, and we talked a bit about hospitality, and that still looms large here in this passage. What we want to look at in terms of context is this is coming right after Jesus has rebuked the disciples who wanted to punish a Samaritan village because they didn't accept Jesus. It's also in this setting helpful to remember that there is a long hostile history between Jews and Samaritans, and this passage is right in the midst of it. Now, Karen, I noticed that you had written in the notes a phrase that I really like, and you might want to say more about it, but you mentioned that Luke counters this climate of hospitality with acts of hospitality. That's a powerful statement.
I think it really jumps out when you start looking at the interactions Jesus has with the disciples after something has happened. So we find an act of hostility. Jesus isn't accepted on his way to Jerusalem. They stop at a town and the town does not accept him, and the disciples get really mad, and he has to explain to them, "No, that's not what we do. We don't burn it down." I think we talked about that several weeks ago when that passage was in our lectionary. And you see it over and over, whether it's passive hostility or overt hostility, Jesus seems to counter that not with more hostility, but with this hospitality of self, the willingness to go deeper into relationship and not dive off into retribution or revenge or some of those other pieces that we tend to, as humans, to go towards. So yeah, I see that over and over in Luke's gospel and in the book of Acts. It's just this constant facing hostility with hospitality. We can see it again in Philemon. So if Philemon is not on your reading list, it's in the back of the New Testament. And I would recommend a good NRSV with notes, because in Philemon, Paul does something really interesting. So that's the slave that Paul counsels to return to the master. But then he says to the master, "Hey, I'm going to be coming to visit you in a little while. So I will look forward to see how you are treating this person the same way that you treat me with acts of hospitality." So Paul is right there with this, right? So it's not just the gospel writers. It's this whole idea that you confront the hostility of slavery, of injustice, of punishment. You confront that with hospitality. Okay, enough said. That's probably more sermon you're going to get at church today if you people are on your way to church listening to Coffee to Go. Sorry, but I'm really passionate about this.
Yeah, well, thanks, Karen, because I really think that's a powerful statement and something for us to keep in mind. And it's certainly representative of what Luke is trying to do in the gospel, because he's all about hospitality and making peace, bringing healing and wholeness, and not just to those we love or those we like or those who are easy, but offering the same to friend and enemy alike. We've got this lawyer character here who questions Jesus, and it's clear that he has the basics down pat. He knows the answers from the law. He knows the law, and he answers it to love God and love neighbors. That's what's most important. But it seems, at least, that he's interested in offering only hospitality where he has to. And he's not interested in offering more than he has to. So he inquires to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Scholar Stanley P. Saunders writes, "What the lawyer is really saying is, who is not my neighbor? What's in the fine print? Where is the line, the cutoff? Who can I consider not my responsibility?" And the
Ouch.
reality is, there's no line. There's no line. Everyone is our neighbor. So it puts before us some questions. The first of those would be, who do I tend to consider not my neighbor? Am I listening to cultural, religious, and political trends that cast others as enemies, scum, traitor, other? We tend to grab onto those things because sometimes it makes us feel better and justifies our drawing a line in the sand. So we need to consider where those lines are and what are the sources. Second question might be, how do I rate in compassion on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 as top notch?
How do you rate in compassion, Blake, on a scale of 1 to 5?
I'm going to take that as a rhetorical question.
No.
No,
No, I'm willing to
no.
answer it because I think I'm like a solid 3. I wish I could say I was a 4, but I think probably in reality, I allow myself to show a solid 3 because I feel like if I was compassionate to a 4, I would be too vulnerable. So it's a protective measure. I'm just being upfront about that.
And I would say I probably am a 4, and I wouldn't. So I'm a heart person, and compassion, I tend to offer compassion sometimes when others might think I'm being too compassionate. But I would not say a 5, only because I'm human and I do have some of those biases that make me at least question the compassion in some cases. And so I'm not just absolutely free flowing, but feel like I rank sometimes to my detriment, maybe some would say, being too compassionate. But I don't know that you can really be too compassionate. But the vulnerability that you mentioned, that's where, because vulnerability is not something we often strive for. Nobody wants to be vulnerable.
No, and I think I grew up equating it with weakness. And so it was like
Right.
I had a really powerful parent. And so to make oneself vulnerable was allowing someone to take advantage of potential of weakness. So I think that has stayed with me. But yeah, it's interesting when I really think about the compassion of Jesus and what we're called to do and be to really love yourself and then love God with all that you are. That's complete compassion. So we're all striving for five. We're just not there yet.
There you go. Well, there's got to be a goal. The last question that I would ask this week would be, have I tried to bring hospitality and peacemaking into a season of conflict and anger or
Ooh. So have I
anger?
confronted hostility with hospitality?
There you go.
Or
There you go.
will I? Yeah, I have a good answer to that where I was able to do that and do it in a gentle way. And I'm really aware that that's not my norm. So I was really pleased that I was able to offer hospitality into a really hostile conversation. And remain gentle while doing it, which really is the advice in First Peter. Okay, how can we experience this week? So this is my great brainstorm for experiencing who is my neighbor. Stream the Mr. Rogers movie. If you have access to streaming movies, stream A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, which is the movie with Tom Hanks as Fred Rogers. Because his whole thing was neighborliness, hospitality to neighbor. And his kind of main phrase was, "Won't you be my neighbor?" And he sang that song on every episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. So see if you can stream that movie. If not, get on your phone, your smartphone, and go to YouTube. And just Google Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and watch a couple episodes and see how Mr. Rogers talks about neighborliness and who our neighbors are. So let's see if we can live in it that way this week.
All right. And so it's only appropriate that we end this episode with a blessing that is a prayer for our neighbors. Lord, we pray for our neighbors. We thank you for the blessing of community and the opportunity to connect with them. Help us to see them not just as neighbors, but as individuals with unique stories and needs. Grant us peace and patience to build healthy relationships, to listen with understanding, and to extend kindness and compassion. We pray that our homes and streets will be filled with your peace. Guide us in how to be a blessing to them, and help us to be a positive influence in our neighborhood. We ask that you would bless their homes, their families, and their lives. May they experience your love and peace, and may they know that we are here to support them in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us here again at Coffee to Go. We invite you to join us next time for the next part of our journey through the liturgical seasons and holy days of the Christian tradition.